This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're coming your way until 2 o'clock this afternoon, talking a lot of sports with you. I'm going to talking about prep football in the mid-Michigan area with Dick Hoekstra, the prep editor of the Lansing State Journal. And we'll talk with Dick about what's going on in the area. There are still 10 teams left that haven't lost a game yet. And we'll start out talking with him about some of those games going on, some of those teams in the mid-Michigan area. How good are they? How many games does he think they'll stay unbeaten and such? So we'll talk with Dick Hoekstra about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about Sergio Martinez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., about his fight coming up Saturday right here on HBO, on the pay-per-view fight. It's a huge fight, and you should like that one. But right now, let's talk with Dick Hoekstra about prep sports in the area. Dick, how you doing, my friend?
Good.
Hey, good to talk with you. And you had an article in the paper today about some teams that have a 3-0 start. And I sort of want to ask you, how many of these teams are basically, first, how good do you think football is in the mid-Michigan area? Is it strong? Is it weak? Just so-so? How do you view football overall in the mid-Michigan area?
Well, I think the smaller schools, the CMAC schools, are very strong.
Okay.
And a couple others. Ithaca from the TVC is very strong, TVC West. And it's hard to say about Leslie at this point. They're kind of hard to gauge, but a lot of the CAAC schools, I'm not sure how they stack up because how badly Rockford beat Holt.
Yeah,
that kind of makes you wonder about the upper divisions, how they stack up statewide. But I still think the CMAC schools are going to do very well. And the Portland Lansing Catholic winner probably has a good shot to go pretty a decent distance. So the smaller schools, good. The upper schools, I'm not so sure. Maybe Everett. It's hard to say at this point. If Everett turns up, this Friday night's a huge game to see. If Everett's a lot better than Holt, well, maybe they're in the same league with Rockford. But if they have a really close game or even lose, then maybe not then.
Yeah, I know we saw Everett earlier in the year, and the thing that impressed me with them, they have a ton of speed on that team. I mean, I'm looking forward. It's not to the end of the year, but that Everett East Lansing game, that's really going to be a barn burner. Both teams have a lot of speed.
Yeah, actually, that's on the 28th of September, so it's actually just 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. But that'll be interesting you're right. They got a lot of track stars on the team, and that's how well they penetrated against the DeWitt quarterback, and how quick their defense was. It was pretty impressive. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they stack up against the other blue teams. Starting on Friday night, and then after that they've got Eastern, and then East Lansing, Grand Ledge, Sexton, and Jackson. That's the rest of their schedule. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, how good do you think Mason is?
I'm a little skeptical of them. I think they're a little bit of a beneficiary of a easier schedule. I mean, they fell behind Okemos 17-0, and give them credit for rallying and winning that game. But the CAAC gold appears to be a little weak beyond Charlotte and Lumen Christi, and those are the two schools that they face here the next 2 weeks. They play Lumen Christi this week, and then after that, I think they play Charlotte. So that's those will say a lot, but I feel like they're going to have a good record just because I think the gold's kind of weak this year. That'll be interesting to me to see how they do against Waverly. I think that might. It looks to me like maybe they're a notch below Charlotte and Lumen Christi. That's right. They play Charlotte next week. They have the Romulus this week, and then they play at Lumen Christi. I'm not a little skeptical of Mason. They lost every starter they had.
Yeah.
And Ben Havel's a great coach. Don't get me wrong, but it's I don't know. I guess I'll believe that one when I see it.
That's the thing. When you look at these teams and say like if they continue on their way and they're basically still unbeaten, you have to wonder then how good is the competition that they're playing. Yep. If they can go from zero returning starters and they put in a whole new lineup and they're still winning, that has to say a lot about the competition they're playing, doesn't it?
It could, although it's, sometimes you've got, when you've got good feeder systems, good JV programs, freshman programs, middle school programs, that can help an awful lot. And just good coaching. Ben Havel does a great job. So if he's going to take and mold, and maybe by the time they hit some of these tougher games, having had the experience and working together and gelling and learning their offenses and defenses, maybe they will be a lot better. And if they'd had to play those teams right out of the gate with no starters, maybe they lose and maybe they turn around and win them after having some experience to get some confidence and learn their systems.
Give us a call. We're talking with Dick Hoekstra from the Lansing State Journal, the prep editor. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you want a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Notre Dame game, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, and you can register for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Notre Dame game. We'll give those tickets away at the end of today's program. Hey, Dick, what about when we look at some of the other teams in the area? Portland has always been consistently a good team. Portland St. Patrick has been a pretty good team as well. Both those teams are doing quite well this year. How do you portray them?
Well, I think Portland's, they've been close to Lansing Catholic, kind of on their heels the last couple of years. So maybe with the losses that Lansing Catholic has had, maybe this is the year they get them. And then they usually turn around most years, depending on how things line up with the divisions. A lot of times they'll wind up playing them again in the playoffs. So if Portland can get past Lansing Catholic this year, win the White, and get past them in the playoffs, I think they got a shot to go pretty deep. They're a talented team, and they're good every year. And it seems like if they could get past Catholic, that would be the thing. St. Patrick, they have a interesting situation. They're in the 8-man league, and there's only 6 teams in there. So they play the 5 other teams. They played most of the teams in the league twice, and so they've already beaten up on 3 of those, and they get those 3 again. And one of the teams that they still have to play that they haven't played is 1-2. So it looks to me like I think St. Patrick has a chance to go undefeated. They're looking like they're really strong, and they've been playing in the tough CMAC all these years, and I think that really has helped prepare them for this kind of a situation. Last Friday, they played on Portland's field and it was extra wide, and that gives them even extra running room. I guess in the normal 8-man game, it's not quite as wide a field that they play on, and so there isn't quite as much open space. But it looks to me like St. Patrick, they take advantage of that open space even more. And yeah, I think they're going to do very well in this 8-man thing. They're historically well coached. The problem has been in the last dozen years or so since they won their last state title. Their problem has been numbers, but they certainly have good coaching and good athletes and that sort of thing.
Dick, a team that I've sort of marveled at over the years, and I've been out to their games from time to time, is St. John's. It always seems that St. John has some pretty big players on that team. I mean, it seems like every year almost they have a few pretty big players, and I don't know if they just grow them out there or what, but that always seems to be a team that is a pretty big team and pretty strong team.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's just that's what's kind of different this year and why I kind of expected them to fall off, and I really thought they'd lose to Charlotte in their opener, and they actually kind of got, if you look at the statistics for that game. Charlotte probably should have won. But, you know, give St. John's credit for coming through with some big plays and eking out a one-point win. And they're another team that I'm not sure, kind of in the Mason realm, where they got good coaching and they get them, you know, the coaches get the most out of what they got. But, yeah, they don't have the big guys they've had in recent years. And so their success is a little bit of a surprise to me, but and I think partly a little bit to do with their schedule. And so it'll be interesting to see how they do against Owosso, which beat Hazlett last week, 25-22, and you know, and then the rest of their schedule, and see how they fare against DeWitt and Hazlett down the road, so St. John's is kind of a question mark, but you know, winning these games and learning the offense and gelling, you know, who knows? Maybe they can continue the success.
Now, one team I have not seen this year, usually I've seen them by this point, but that's Waverly. How good is Waverly this year? I mean, you know, every year I like them to do well, but you know, they've always started out disappointingly. But this year they're off to a pretty good start. So, how good is Waverly this year?
Well, you know, Everett crushed them, but that's not necessarily, at least right. They did in the second half anyway. I guess it was a really close first half, and then Everett kind of pulled away in the opener. But once again, they're kind of in that weak gold that I think they have a chance to win quite a few games just because of that. You know, their toughest games are going to be at Charlotte, at Jackson Lumen Christie, and then at home against Mason. And, you know, I don't see why they can't win a couple of those. And then they close out at Fowlerville. So, they're looking at a pretty good record this year because you know, Parma, Jackson County Western and Eaton Rapids are probably, you know, two wins. So, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, another team that's really looking good is Ithaca. I mean, you know, they might be the first team to win three straight titles since the MHSA has expanded the divisions. And this is a team, when I saw them in that very first game, I said, oh, wow, against Williamston. I mean, that's a team that just doesn't make mistakes. You can say they're not going to beat themselves. I mean, they're such a good team. They do everything well. I mean, they're just a good, fundamentally sound team.
Yeah, they're very well coached, and they got a great system that was actually started by Jim Ahern, the coach at Lansing Catholic now. And Terry Hesburgh's taken over him, and they got a great thing going there. Big crowds, the tradition is just snowballing. New stadium, and it looks to me like they have a Tarleton is their big game that's on the 28th, so 2 weeks from this Friday at home, which just should help them. But Carlton is also undefeated and has outscored their opponents by almost the exact same numbers that Ithaca has. So that looks to me like about their only test in the TBC West, and then they finish up the year with Shepherd, which is from the TBC Central, and I don't think they're very strong either. They're 1-2. So yeah, it looks to me like if they can get by that Carrollton game, then they're going to go undefeated going into the playoffs, and then it's just a matter of what division you're in and who you run up against.
Yeah, how about Ashley? You mentioned, I mean, they were 2-7 last fall, but boy, have they been an offensive juggernaut this year? They're off to a great start. Talk about Ashley and then Alma.
Well, Ashley, I think, is a little bit of a product of they're playing some weak teams from the MSAC North. And I think now that they're going to switch to the South, I think it's going to be tougher to keep the wins going. However, I am impressed with the new coach is their principal, Mike Allison, and he's got, even though he's not been a head coach before, he's been a defensive coordinator for years, so he knows what he's doing, and I think he's getting the most out of what he's got. I don't know exactly how many more wins they're going to get out of this, just because it's a really small school, and it's almost every school they play is bigger than them in the MSAC South. So it'll be tougher to keep the win streak going. But he's already done better than many thought he would, and you know, he'll probably get a couple more wins out of that bunch.
And what about Alma?
Alma, that's a playoff team from last year and they're pretty darn good, and they have a big game tonight against Saginaw Swan Valley. It's the team they beat 48-47 last year, and it's kind of the irresistible force, a movable object sort of thing, because Alma averages like 35 points a game, and Swan Valley has given up zero so far this season in three games. So, which does good defense beat good offense? You know, I'm kind of wish I could go see that game, but going to be occupied elsewhere. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. If they get past that one, they got a pretty good shot, I think, to win that league, the TBC Central.
Okay. Hey, Dick, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. It's good talking with you today and bringing us up to date on you know, we still got a lot of teams in the Mid-Michigan area that are unbeaten, and we have a lot of teams that are 2-1. So it looks like football overall in the Mid-Michigan area is pretty strong this year.
I would agree.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Dick, and we'll talk to you later on, buddy. Okay, bye-bye. We've been talking with Dick Hoekstra, talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Neil Conan. Every day brings fresh developments and interesting stories to tell. At Talk of the Nation, we look for the stories that matter to you. From international news to the latest campaign politics to the issues that touch your family, tune in for Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thank you for joining us. The weather forecast for today, mostly cloudy and maybe some rain late today. Our high 77. Tonight, look for a low of 51, and rain is likely tonight. A high of 70 and sunny on Friday, mostly sunny, and a high of 72 Saturday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And remember, if you want a chance to win tickets to the MSU Notre Dame game on Saturday, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, and we'll give the tickets away at the end of today's program. So give us a call at 353-5000. You can register for your chance to win tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. So give us a call, talk sports with us, and now I want to talk about there's a big fight coming up Saturday, a huge fight between Sergio Martinez and Julio Chavez Jr., and we'll talk about that one. And it's a fight I know I told Dennis yesterday. I'm going reluctantly with Chavez Jr. It wasn't a firm or strong indictment of him or going with him. But, you know, after I read the article today, that just made me a little bit stronger in his corner. He's really an article in USA Today on him and his father. As we know, Julio Chavez Sr. Was one of the greatest fighters, the greatest fighter that's ever been produced by Mexico. And he retired, a few years ago. And like a lot of people, and he was one of the fighters that got hooked on drugs. And it took his son to help get him out of that whole drug scenario and the whole drug system. He helped him. He got him out. He was headed down. Even he said he was headed downhill fast. And, you know, he didn't know what to do. He was just steadily taking the drugs. And he's finally, the help that his son got him, he's back to doing well. And he looks a lot better than what he used to. And, you know, that's a tribute that his son basically rescued him and saved him from himself. And as he said, what drove him so much is, you know, he was criticized so much for boxing and people thought he was just taking it lightly. It was just like a little game to him. They didn't know what burned inside of him. And he has a strong desire to prove all those people wrong that called him, just Caesar's child, never thought he would do much in the game. And he's come on very strong. And I know I didn't really notice him till like the last two or three fights and I started paying attention. And he really is a good fighter, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. But even then, even though I watched him in the last few fights, I still, you know, he's okay. He's not great, but I've watched him closer, and I think he's got a good chance to beat Sergio Martinez, who is older, and who's put up a great record, over the years. But he is getting a little long in the tooth, that is, and you know, it might be that time that he gets time catches up with him. He catches up with everyone, at every age and every sport. And I'm looking at Julio Cesar Chavez to get that junior, that is, to win this fight coming up. He's a very good fighter, and he's very, very strong. his last fight with Andy Lee, he really impressed me. He took a very good punch from Andy Lee, who works for our friend down in Detroit, and he took a very good punch, and yet he gave out some very tough punches. So I think Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is going to win that fight against Sergio Martinez coming up on Saturday night. But we'll know. We'll see. It should be a very good fight. You know, he's a young man who's very determined. He wanted to follow in his father's footsteps, but he wants to blaze his own trail, and he's off to a good start right now. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. And also, we got to talk about Notre Dame going in the ACC. Should have mentioned it yesterday, but didn't get a chance to mention it yesterday. But wanted to talk about that. Notre Dame going into the ACC. They're going to have to play 5 games with ACC opponents, and Michigan State. And then, of course, you know, they're always going to play Notre Dame, basically. Notre Dame was always going to play USC and Navy. So that's basically 7 opponents a year. And, you know, and Stanford is going to be in there. They're almost close to being considered playing them every year. So that would be, with those 3 teams, that makes it 8 games a year. So how will Michigan State and Michigan fit in there? Well, they're going to be like they are right now. They'll be on a rotating basis. And that's the way it's going to shake out for those two. Michigan State and Notre Dame have been long-time traditional rivals. They've been friends for a long time, for sure. Been very good friends over the years. And so we'll see that game. They've got contracts off and on through 2031. So we'll see them from time to time. Not every year like they had been up and through the 70s. And matter of fact, up and through the 80s. Now we'll just see them sometime. But, you know, it still be, it'll always be a good game. And that rivalry will always noted. I mean, every time Notre Dame and Michigan State play, every year they always mention or it comes up the greatest game ever played in 66 between those two teams, the 10-10 tie. And I must admit, I sort of miss ties. I mean, yes, it's nice. I know the young guys, they don't really care for ties, but I've always liked ties, you know, because it gives, selfishly, it gives me something to debate about, something to talk about. You know, when you're doing talk show, that you can always talk on either side about either team. So I've always loved ties, and, you know, I never had a problem with one, but, you know, the fans, they want the game to be settled on the field, who won, who lost. Yes, you can still talk. There's always situations in game when you look at a certain situation. If they had did this or if they had done that, you know, that game would turn very much so. So, you know, you can always look at it like that. But, yes, I'll always look at that aspect. If you have a tie, you know, just let it stay as a tie. That's it. Having all these overtimes and such, you know, yes, that can be okay. But as one who didn't mind ties when we had ties, I wouldn't mind if it could come back again. But I also know once you get rid of something, it never comes back. It will always be as it is. People don't like ties, and you don't have to worry about it. You'll never see ties again. You'll always have a definitive outcome for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And the Lions, well, you don't have to worry about the Lions having a tie. Playing San Francisco this weekend, this is going to be a tough game for the Lions. How good are the Lions? You know, you're going to find out a lot about how good the Lions are going to be this year in the second game of the year against San Francisco. Now, depending on how they lose, and I'm assuming they will lose going out there, how do they keep it close? Do they, even if they lose big, how many big plays do they have? How many big plays do they give up? We'll have to look at their defense and see how good this defense is. We'll find out a lot. About the Lions defense, that's for sure. Is it a good defense? A strong defense? We know it's good up front. We don't know about the back end yet. And sometimes it's not that great up front. So we'll learn a lot about the Detroit Lions coming up this weekend. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Join us on Sports Talk, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk about the fight, if you want to talk about the college games or the pro games, there's a lot of sports out there. Or if you want to talk about the preps, give us a call right now here on 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Give us a call. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And Alex, you've been sitting over there listening. How do you feel? Let me ask you, how do you feel about the, I think you probably don't like a tie game. So how do you feel about the having tie games in sports? I'm not a biggest fan, but it did hurt me when they got rid of the ties in college sports.
Yeah, you know what, ties are, it's a big conflict, but we do have a caller, so we'll see what he has to say.
Okay, we'll get the call, and we'll talk about that, and you can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We love to hear from you each and every day. We come your way from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR in East Lansing. And yes, I mean, I know it's always going to be with us for sure. Since they got rid of ties, I wasn't a big fan when they got rid of them. But they did get rid of them, and so I it's going to rest in peace. That's for sure. But what's your take on it, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, a tie game when it comes to a sport like boxing. Boxing is a sport that a tie game in a boxing match. There's more to it. There's more of a momentum. There's more of a, like an external factor that comes with the tie in boxing, I'd say. But if you take a tie when it comes to a hockey or maybe a soccer game, it really never ends in a tie. Like, let's say you watch the soccer. Let's say you watch the World Cup and you see a tie. Well, that really doesn't do anything for you, considering that most teams are vibing for a playoff spot. They're fighting for a playoff spot. When it comes to boxing, it's either you win or you lose. There's no middle ground. There's no season that goes with it. Yeah, there is a no decision, but I feel like soccer compared to boxing is more of an in-depth when it comes to ties.
Yeah, but what about football? I mean, we got them in football.
Hey, we haven't seen ties in football, in years, Earl. But, hey, speaking of football, though, a caller wanted to know, Fred, he wants to know about why Notre Dame did not join the Big Ten opposed to the ACC.
Well, they've been asked for several years to join the Big Ten, and they've turned them down consistently because if they want to join the Big Ten, they have to join in all teams. They wouldn't have been able to remain an independent in football as they are. So if they join the Big Ten, they would have to be an equal partner and share all the revenue. And they definitely don't want to give up that revenue in football. They've got a contract with NBC, and they don't want to share that contract with anyone. So I don't think we'll ever see them. You should never say never, but it's highly unlikely they'll ever join the Big Ten because they really don't want to share the money, that's for sure. And yes, and in football, though, Alex, we haven't had ties in maybe about the last 10. I think that was it was eliminated about 10 to 15 years ago, ties in football. So that's the thing. We don't have ties in football, but, it wouldn't be bad if it came back, but I know it'll never came back. Once you take something away, it never comes back.
Hey, and Earl, I got to ask you, do you think the fact that Notre Dame did not join the Big Ten had something to do with the university type? What I mean by this is Notre Dame is a private university. Do you think that had anything to do with the Big Ten image? Maybe they want more public universities?
Well, they've always been a public. I mean, they've been around for over 100 years, but they really wanted to maintain that independence in football. They've always been an independent power in football, and they want to keep that. Even though giving up, they're going to have to play 5 games in the ACC. They're going to be factored into the ACC championship game and get in through that way. So they're going to have the affiliation of being in the ACC and don't have to play a total ACC schedule. Maintain a good number of games as independents, but it's is a great move for Notre Dame. They're going to get all that access from the ACC. For me, you know, it only helps Notre Dame, so that's a good move for them. And they could have joined the Big Ten 20 years ago. Big Ten have been asking them to join for a long time, and they've never shown any interest in the Big Ten because they just don't want to share the money. They don't want to give it anything, and they'll keep all the money and everything they have right now. So it really is a good move for them to join the ACC, because the Big Ten just wouldn't let them come in. If they come in the Big Ten, they got to share all the money that they bring in, and they're an equal partner. They just didn't see it that way. So that's the way it is, and we can talk more about that if you want to talk more about Notre Dame. Give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Or if you want to talk more about the pros and the Lions and what they come up. Now, we've got a good game coming up tonight, Alex. That's going to be a big challenge. Chicago and Green Bay tonight. This is the 185th team time that they'll meet. The oldest rivalry in pro football is Chicago and Green Bay. I've met 185 times. This will be the 185th time they've met over the years. A tremendous, tremendous rivalry, Green Bay and Chicago. So that's going to be a great game. They've had many of great games over the years. And so we'll talk about that some if you'd like to talk more about that game coming up tonight. Will Brian Urlacher play? That's the question. I mean, he says he's healthy, and he says he'll be able to go tonight. He's not sure how long he'll be able to go, how many plays he'll be able to run, but he says he's going to get out there and give it a shot. So we'll see about that and watch him, how many plays will be he can be and be effective on. That's for sure. So we'll see that from Brian Urlacher. So a lot of different things going on. We've got a lot of different games going on, and we love to hear from you. If you want to talk about boxing or if you want to talk about one of the games, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Remember, we're coming away Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you want a chance to win tickets, Alex is over there answering the phones giving you the chances to win some tickets. You can call and register to win tickets here on AM 870. Just give him a call at 353-5000, 353-5000. You can talk to Alex, and you can get registered for tickets. We'll give those tickets away near the end of today's show. Let's go to the phones. We've got Tom on the line. Tom, how you doing?
How you doing today, brother? Huh?
Okay, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Hey, I want to switch topics a little bit. Been watching the Big Ten Network, and they had a player from the old days on there, Chuck Long, and I'd always looked at Chuck Long as being one of the best Big Ten quarterbacks I had ever seen. And I wanted to ask you, he went to the Lions, and it seems like something happened. He didn't really seem to have gotten an honest shake with the Lions. So I wanted to see if you remembered Chuck Long's days at the Lions and why he didn't pan out as a quarterback, because in college he was outstanding. I'll take your answers off the air unless you want to put me on hold try for the ticket.
Oh, okay. Well, let me. You're going to have to call that other number. So call that other number, 353-5000, and you can just call that one and register for the tickets. Chuck Long, oh, yes, I remember. Like you, I thought Chuck Long was a very fine quarterback in the Big Ten, and he was a good quarterback in the Big Ten. But he did have a little problem when he went to the pros. I mean, he couldn't throw the long ball. The furthest ball he threw in college basically was 30 to 35 yards. But he was very accurate throwing passes from between 30 and 35 yards. In the pros, as you know, the defensive backs are so much quicker than they are at college, and they close quickly on passes. Since he couldn't throw a deep pass, he couldn't really stretch the defensive out. They sort of packed in 35 yards. Wasn't even that far. even when Chuck Long was playing in those days. So he most of his passes got knocked down. He just wasn't considered a sharp passer or good enough to play in the NFL. He couldn't stretch the field. He couldn't throw those long passes. So he really was hamstrung. But he was a good passer for short situations. But when they know you can't throw it deep, and he couldn't throw it deep, you really could. You can't stretch the field if you can't throw it deep, and he never could throw a deep pass. So that hurt him, throwing the deep pass in the NFL. Give us a call. Talk sports to us. With us right here on AM 870, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break coming up on AM 870. WKAR.
Whether it's the brutal civil war in Syria, the incredible growth of China, Russia's rebound, or the debt crisis in Europe, money, religion, politics, well, they may be important, Robert Kaplan tells us, but not as important as mountains, oceans, desert, and climate. I'm Neil Conan, the revenge of geography, plus Cornel West and Tavis Smiley declare war on poverty. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A mostly cloudy day in the forecast, with a chance of some rain late in the day. The high is 77 degrees. Overnight, rain is likely and the low will be 51. A sunny Friday with a high tomorrow of 70, and mostly sunny Saturday, the high 72. I'm Scott Pohl.
Well, the Detroit Tigers won another game last night, beat the Chicago White Sox, and have beaten them twice in a row, so... So now that we have to ask the same old question we've been asking all year long, or basically, yeah, all year long. Can the Tigers win their division? I mean, it looks like they're still going to have a chance to win the division as poorly as they played all year. They've been such an inconsistent team, but they still have a chance to win the division, which would put them in a good light to get to the World Series. Alex, what do you feel? How is this team... The Tigers, do you think they can win the division, get to the World Series?
It's amazing, Earl. It's so shaky, day in and day out. I cringe my teeth. I bite my nails every single time they set foot in that outfield, Earl. But, I mean, if you had to ask me right now, I'd say they're definitely getting their money's worth. What I mean by that is we've seen Prince Fielder have a clutch home run. We've seen the guys come through in the clutch against Chicago. This is must win. This is... as late as it gets in terms of must winning, but it comes a time now, Earl. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. September baseball, this is a division kind of series. Even Buster Olney from ESPN came out the other day on his video blog and said, Detroit is definitely the team that needs to win in this series. So, I mean, what about you, Earl? Is this a championship team? Is this an ALCS team?
That's the thing. I just don't know if they're a championship team or not. And to me, they haven't shown that good most of the year. But I've maintained all year long that I think they're going to win the division. And you know what? You look at how it's shaped up, the games who they have left playing against, they still should win their division. And that's crazy. But they're not that good of a team. I mean, I just can't see this team getting to the World Series at all. And, I think that if they get to the playoffs, and if they get in the playoffs, I think they'll lose to that top team in the division, that's for sure. But I can't see this team. I know people have thought this was a World Series team. It's really not a World Series team. When you look at the team, it's just an average team. They're not a good team. They're not a great team. I think it was over-publicized and over, too much talk about how good the Tigers were, how good the Tigers are as a team. They're not that good. They're just okay. They're an okay team. You've got two big boppers. The rest of the guys after the big boppers, other than Jackson, you just don't have that many good everyday players on that team. So they're going to have to upgrade all the other players around Cabrera and Fielder. They've got to upgrade all those other players. So if they can do that, and I know you can't do it in 1 year, but they've for this team to be good, everybody just has to play, have their career best year. They really have to have their career best year. They have to play at the top of their game. And I don't know if they're going to do that, if they can do that at all. That's what they have to do. They have to have their career best year for them to make a run, or to make a run in the playoffs. If they get in the playoffs, there's still a chance they may not even get in the playoffs. So, That's a shame that we're at such a late date. We're still saying, is this a playoff team? Can this be a good playoff team? Can this be a winning team? And we don't know. That's a shame that you don't know this much by a team you've seen in over 140 games so far in this part of the season. But yet, they're still there. They have a chance. I mean, that's the only thing we can say. They've got a chance to be a playoff team, a chance to get to the World Series. I don't think they'll do it, but they still have that chance to get there.
Yeah, Earl, and besides the fact that they do have that chance, how big of an impact is this pitching rotation? We've seen Pfister, we saw Scherzer the last two games, pitch very well.
Yes.
If these guys hold up, is this the key to them making that playoff berth?
Well, no, the kidding is the key. I mean, everyone already knows, they've got a good pitching staff, a good rotation, and the starting pitching has been very good for most of the year. But the bullpen is shaky. It's still shaky. Sometimes they're up and sometimes they're down. So it's a shaky bullpen. But the starters are very good. They have a very good front line team with all their starters healthy. And Pfister is good. Scherzer is good. Porcello's the only one who's sort of a question mark. He's a question mark as a starter. But the others around the starter, Verlander, he's strong. Their starters are very good. But I don't know if the bullpen is up to snuff at all.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen this bullpen. We've seen them give runs, game in and game out. And then we wonder, how consistent can they be? How many times do we see Jose Valverde go into a late game situation and you bite your nails each time, Earl?
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. We all knew he couldn't be perfect again like he was last year. I mean, nobody goes 49-0, I think he went last year, didn't blow any saves. That's so highly unlikely. And he's having a good year. It's not the undefeated year, that's for sure. But he does, he has his moments. Sometimes he's very good, and sometimes he's shaky. He gives up a lot of runners that get on base against him. He's not 1-2-3 lights out like it was last year. And so this year, it's basically been a struggle for him. Sometime he gets through an inning. Sometime he doesn't get through an inning. It's very, very, very tough for them when you look at the Tigers and how they've played this year. Well, let's go back to the phones. We've got Ray from Fort Wayne. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Hey, I've watched you two games, and I've watched Michigan two games, and I think you can bully them up front. Your offense and defensive line, to me, is better. If you don't turn the ball over, you should beat that team by a couple touchdowns.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's still a few weeks away, so we'll see.
Yeah, I know. We'll find out a little bit more, too, this week, because Notre Dame's, they had a tough game with Purdue last week. Mm-hmm. But Purdue's pretty good this year.
Yes, they are, and they're going to give State a tough game. I know that they're going to give State a tough game.
Yeah.
Michigan's going to have an easy game this week playing Massachusetts. We'll just have to look and see how these teams do. But
yeah,
I don't expect Notre Dame will have a play Michigan State well. Notre Dame could beat them for sure.
Yeah.
It should be a very good game, though.
Yeah, that should be a real, real good game. It always is Michigan State. And the next week, Michigan going up to Notre Dame, we're going to know a little bit more, too. It's kind of early to tell because, this is like the exhibition for the NFL.
Yep.
For college. So you play four or five games, you really don't know what you got.
Yep. So after you'll find out more. That's for sure. So hey, thanks a lot, Ray. So we'll talk to you later, buddy. And the time now is 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, right here on AM 870. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Mr. Tate on the line. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Mr. Robinson, I'm blessed and well. How about you?
Hey, doing good.
Hey man, good. Good to hear that. Thanks for taking my call as always. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things as I usually do. I try not to get too long-winded, but you definitely got some good topics going on with some of the bigger time games going on this this week. I hear a couple of things. First of all, with Green Bay possibly being in trouble starting the season off 0-2.
Yep.
And not only that, but both of those being in Lambeau and versus tonight against the Bears. The Bears have I think that the way that they've stacked things up offensively and defensively, similar to the Niners, when you're looking at Brandon Marshall and Devin Hester, on the offensive end with Matt Forte, and then you got Urlach on the defense. They don't call them the Bears for no reason. I know Greg Jennings, I know that he's injured as a possibility. He may not play. But something I saw the other last week versus the Niners, no Donald Driver. I think that they're going to need a little bit of everything they can to prevent that season starting off 0-2 with Greg Jennings and Donald Driver. You've got to be expecting some big things to
contain. That's a must game. That's a must win for Green
absolutely.
Bay without doubt.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you got to definitely be able to, you know, in order to contain the Bears' offense, you know, you got to have that B.J. Raji playing up to par and Clay Matthews and A.J. Hawk. But I heard you talking about some of the ties, whether it be in boxing. There's so many, you know, talking about, you know, how you don't like to see a lot of the same type of ties and stuff like that. Now, me being a younger generation guy, I don't like to see the ties. I know that you mentioned that. It didn't bother you as much. In boxing, we're looking at another December 8th fight number 4 coming up between Manuel Marquez and Pacquiao, possibly. 1966 was a tie between, I believe, the championship had to be split out right between two or three teams. Was at Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Alabama. But just to go ahead and finish up, you know, I hear they're kind of seeing, you know, Notre Dame possibly ditching off some of the great rivalries and breaking a traditional contract possibly with University of Michigan and Michigan State since joining the ACC and playing 5 of those conference schools in ACC in football, planning to keep Stanford and USC, Navy. I don't mind that so much, but I'd be highly disappointed if I see them start scheduling Duke again in football and Air Force and Army. The tradition and alumni and fan base for Notre Dame goes so deep, but hasn't challenged for national championship contention since they won in 1988. I don't understand why so much hype. Everybody knows about Rudy. Everybody knows about Touchdown Jesus. I don't see the hype, Mr. Robinson, as I like to compare, where they haven't won one since 88. Everybody talks about how the Cowboys, America's football team, since 95. Everybody likes the Knicks and their big market. They haven't won one since 1970. Those are just a little bit of things. There's just some food for thought here on this afternoon. I love the show, Mr. Robinson. Thank you for taking my call. I'll keep listening, and I'll keep supporting you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tate. Yeah, one reason we can say sports, it goes in cycles. For every team, it goes in cycles. For Michigan, for Notre Dame, Dallas, it's in a downward cycle for them most of the time. They can still win, and they have their moments. Sometimes they'll have a whole season. We'll have to look at that, and maybe Notre Dame can have a good year this year. They haven't had a good year. They haven't been that strong as they were back in '88 when Lou Holtz got in, and of course Lou Holtz had some things changed. Matter of fact, he had their academic standards. They were lowered a little bit in his era, and he was able to get more students that were okay or sort of borderline students. He were able to get them in to Notre Dame, and that helped them win. So we'll have to see how they do that. And they have downgraded their schedule for most part, as you know, and everyone knows. They've downgraded their schedule. So, we'll have to see if they can start winning, playing these tougher games, tougher schedule. They don't have a real tough one this year, a little bit tougher this year than it has had in past years. But Notre Dame has always been basically a national team. Because they have a national schedule. They play teams from all over the country, but they don't win like they used to win. They used to be a strong winning team. They're not that strong winning team anymore, even though they still play a pretty good schedule, and they still play some pretty good teams. But a lot of those teams that's on their schedule have caught up with them, so they don't. They just can't go out and win these games anymore. Well, Alex, it's just about time for us to give away those tickets, my friend. I know you got the random.org over there, and you can get reach in there and get the tickets out and see who wins the tickets for the Notre Dame game.
All right, so we need a little drum roll. So we're gonna randomize it right now.
Okay.
And the winner is from Flint, Leonard Copeland.
Oh, okay. A Flintstone.
Yeah, he's a Flintstone, I guess. But yeah, hey, Leonard Copeland, congratulations. Come pick up your tickets at WKAR.
Okay, thank you. And you'll be calling him after we get off the air and calling him and let him know that he's won the tickets. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can win sports every win tickets on Fridays. When we give tickets away, for all the Michigan State home games right here on AM 870. We wanted to thank the athletic department for giving us those tickets to give away to us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So just make sure you register and you'll have a chance to win. And the next game we'll be giving away tickets for will be the Eastern Michigan game. That'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, and or next week actually. So not the next Eastern Michigan game. Yeah, so we'll be giving tickets away for Eastern Michigan. So give us a call next week when we announce we're giving tickets away for the Eastern Michigan football game. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. About 5 minutes left in the program. If you want to talk some baseball, if you want to talk about the hot Eastern Division between Yankees, Baltimore, and Toronto, and Tampa Bay, that is, it's really going down to the wire between those three teams. Tampa Bay, that is, the Yankees and Baltimore. Three great teams, and they're having that great division race there. And then, of course, you have the Tigers and the Chicago White Sox going on in this division. Boy, we've got some tough baseball coming up, and we've got college baseball going on. I mean, not college baseball, and college football going on. So we've got a lot of good things going on, Alex, and we've got some good fights coming up the next few weeks. We'll be talking about more of the good fights out there in the fight game. But, college football, which, you and I both love a lot, we're going to be talking about a lot of college football and a lot of good games coming up. And, when you look at the top 20 or the top 25 as it is now, the thing is, you can look down, if you look down in the lower half of the teams that the people rate between 15 and 25, you see some pretty good teams there. They'll have a chance to move up, or they'll have a chance to move down and get out of the top 25. And, you look at those top 10, top 15 teams, I'm not sure that they're the top teams. Most of them are a pretty good team. Maybe they deserve to be up there, but I'm not sure how far up they deserve to be when you look at that top 15 playlist. So it's interesting when you look at these teams and you look at there's always challenges for every team in college football. That's the thing. I've always said that there's challenges each and every week when you look at football, and can this team overcome it? Just this week for Michigan State, can Michigan State overcome Notre Dame? We know they're a solid team. That's for sure. And Notre Dame is a solid team, but someone's got to lose. That's the one thing I do like about sports, Alex, is that, we're going to have a winner or loser each week, the team. And, your team may not win, and you'll be upset if your team – that's the thing. I never get that upset when the team I like wins or loses. It just doesn't bother me that much, because I know every week they've got to win or lose. I mean, it's 50-50 chance each and every week, even though some weeks are stacked in your favor because you're playing such a cupcake. But that's the way sports are. But that's the best part of it. You will know after the game ends 3 or 4 hours later, you've won or lost, and no matter where they're ranked.
Yeah, absolutely, Earl. Game to watch besides the MSU Notre Dame game. I'm looking at USC versus Stanford, number two versus 21.
Yep.
Hey, someone's got to lose. It'd be great for Michigan State because they'll move up. But if Stanford wins, this will be a key marking win for that team.
Sure. You beat the number two team in the nation. That simply says something about you. And that means, there hasn't been that big of a drop-off since Andrew Luck left, and the tight ends and some of the other big players are left, moved on to the NFL or to graduation and moved on. So it'll be interesting to see how this team, the Stanford team, does when they go up against USC. That's going to be a great game. I'll look forward to that one. And we know Alabama's got a tough game. It hasn't been talked about a lot, but they have Arkansas coming in this week. And Arkansas, Arkansas got beat last week by Louisiana Lafayette. So how good is this Arkansas team? I expect them to bounce back, but how far will they bounce back? How good will they play? Because they were expected to be a top 10 team. I know they've fallen off the top 10, but what would you look for from Arkansas?
From Arkansas, I'd say it's all in their offense. I mean, they've had consistent pass guys. They've had McFadden. They've had Mallett. These guys are the leaders. I think they just need someone to step up. I think that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's true. They need that. And so we'll see. Have to see how well Arkansas does. We'll have to see how well USC does. Of course, how well Michigan State does. A lot of good games coming up this weekend in college football. And, of course, we've got the pro games to look forward to. How good would Detroit be going up against San Francisco? Chicago and Green Bay taking place tonight. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKRE East Lansing. We come your way each and every day. That's Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. Come back and join us tomorrow. We want you to come back and be a good friend of ours right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. I want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow right here on AM 870. Drew Sharp, Jack Ebling will be with us, and also Terry Foster with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a safe and a pleasant evening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.